There's another person that teaches what isn't taught. It's Ann Coulter, whose books are major works of scholarship. And I just need to say that often. I say when she's not on. But here she is on. Ann Coulter, where are you right now?
I'm giving a speech in Florida this weekend. So luckily, I am not. I just got out in New York.
Yes, exactly why I asked. I was in Kentucky yesterday, so I have an idea.
Wow. You're in Kentucky.
Yeah. Where? Louisville. Did you notice, by the way, and I've learned to say it properly. Do you say Louisville properly?
Yes. My mother's from near there.
Oh, really? Very nice. And I just reported something I would love you to react to.
Uh-huh.
Apropos of not the State of the Union address or the what you wrote on today with regard to immigration, Rutgers University is offering a course on Beyoncé in the school's Department of Women's and Gender Study, and it's called Feminist Perspectives Politicizing Beyoncé, and it analyzes her through American race, gender, and sexual politics. What do you think of that?
You know, I haven't written about this yet because I keep being pulled back into writing about how I want Republicans to do something about the mentally ill to stop these spree shootings or to do something about reducing our overall immigration levels, which would be very popular with Americans as opposed to plutocrats and Mark Zuckerberg and the Chamber of Commerce who want floods of cheap labor. And my third idea, which I haven't gotten to yet, is I want congressional Republicans to have like those tobacco CEO style hearings with the administrators of American colleges and have them explain why they're paid $800,000 a year, you know, each one of the deans and the assistant deans. Explain that to the American people. Because as you know, but most people don't really think about it, every time the government steps in to say, oh, we're going to make college tuition cheaper, what they do is create a subsidy, and colleges just say, oh, how much is that Pell Grant worth? Okay, we'll raise tuition by exactly that amount. So you're constantly chasing your tail. You can't reduce. It's just a transfer of wealth from the taxpayers to college professors and college administrators. And often, you pay more for something, you get something better. Highly paid CEOs, for example, may save the company multiple millions of dollars, so, you know, give him a fraction of what he made for the country or for the company. In the case of colleges, the more money the taxpayers send to them, the worse they get, the more ridiculous they get. It's not as if food or housing has gone up. What's gotten so much better about education that the inflation rate for college tuition has gone up by like 800% since the 70s?
Yep. That's I think about when I went to Columbia, the tuition was $3,000, the full tuition, and you got a better education.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And this is a great issue for Republicans. Everyone working at a college, essentially, 99.9%, hates Republicans with a hot hate. Are they going to get people angry with them who aren't already sworn to their destruction? Soccer moms would love it. They're busy looking at the family bills and wondering why the family is going into debt to send their kids to college. I also think colleges should be required for you know, truth in advertising, to put out information on what their graduates are making per major, and are they employed 1 year after graduation, 3 years after graduation, 5 years after graduation, 15 years. And do not tell me this is too much paperwork, because these are the very professors who seem to think that businessmen have an endless amount of time to be filling out OSHA and EPA reports.
Good. Well said. Listen to this New York Times editorial on the President's State of the Union address. I'm going to read you one line here. If Republicans in Congress stymie the public's needs and desires, Mr. Obama should employ every tool in his box to bypass those barriers. Now, how do they explain the majority of Republicans in the House, the majority of Republicans in state legislatures, and then say that the Republicans are stymieing the public's needs and desires?
Yes. No, the public will is always on their side. Always on their side, the way they report things.
So it means that, really, and I mean this literally, what the New York Times editorial board believes is what America believes.
Yes, which is why their motto is the opposite of the truth.
What, all the news that's fit to print?
No, I mean, that is their motto.
Oh, I see.
The opposite of the truth.
Yeah, well, I see. That is the motto you're giving them.
Yes,
no, I understand.
No, I know. And by the way, the last time we were all being informed with such arrogance of what the American people wanted and demanded was after the Newtown shooting. This time it's different. We're going to the country is demanding, rising up and demanding gun laws. Did you see that in the year since the Newtown shooting, support for gun control has gone down to its lowest level in like 30 years? Which is a particular application of one of my theorems, which is the more people know about a subject, the more conservative they are on that subject. What happened in the year since Newtown is there was all this chit-chat about guns, heavily biased against guns, but some facts managed to trickle out to the public, and they see that we've got to stop blaming the guns. We need to lock up crazy people. Or that is...
Allow me for a second.
We need mental institutions.
Oh, yeah. I know you want to address that. I want you to address it. I just want to emphasize a point that you made, that the more people know about a subject, the more likely they are to take a conservative position.
Yeah.
That's a very important point that Margaret Thatcher, and I never get it exactly right, but it's essentially facts are conservative.
Yes. Yes, I first noticed this back when I was at college at Cornell, and all of the Russian studies professors were not quite as hip on the Soviet Union as the comp lit professors were.
That is a great point. That's exactly right. And so you're right. That people start looking into what exactly does a gun law mean and how does that affect the facts of life are conservative. That's the actual quote from Thatcher.
That's fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. So now tell us, you're on a crusade, and I say that I find the word perfectly legitimate.
Yes.
There are, look, I mean, it's such a stupid idea to make it the C word, as it were. There are good crusades and bad crusades.
Right.
Among your crusades is with regard to mental illness and violence. So why don't you take the time to explain?
Well, if you look at all these spree shootings, the issue isn't the implement of destruction. It's that the person committing it was a paranoid schizophrenic. And this Fuller Torrey, whom I've been quoting endlessly, he wrote a book called The Insanity Offense. He's been warning about this since the deinstitutionalization movement, that if you push all these people, there may have been too many people in mental institutions and certainly way too much therapy and Freudian analysis. But you can track the mass murders and spree killings decade by decade for a century. And there used to be, you know, one or two per decade. Suddenly in the 70s, people who should not have been released from mental institutions were released. The homeless population quintuples. An awful lot of the mentally ill just end up being housed in prisons instead of in nice, warm facilities to care for them and give them their medicine. And we're suddenly getting all of these spree shootings. I mean, just look at that picture of Jared Loughner in Arizona or James Holmes in Colorado. The Virginia Tech killer, obviously Adam Lanza. These people needed to be on medicine. And unfortunately, you know, the ACLU is a big left-wing thing. Oh, who are we to say they're crazy? They want these people living on the streets. It's incredibly unkind to the mentally ill. Incidentally, there are a lot of schizophrenics can go about their lives, have families, have jobs. They just need to take their medication. But part of the illness involves not knowing you're sick. And it's not just guns. It's knives and pushing people in front of subways. It's so obvious that that's what the problem is. And again, this would be a very appealing issue to the soccer moms of America, and I wish Republicans would push it, because Democrats cannot help themselves, not only because it's good policy, but it's brilliant political strategy, because Democrats can't help themselves but to defend the right of the mentally ill to not be treated.
Now, so what would a piece of legislation be, for example?
Well, Fuller Torrey has drafted some model legislation, and I believe, is it Megan's Law in New York was modeled after it. But the basic idea is that if you have a hearing, you have a hearing before, and often it's merely the threat of institutionalization, you can have outpatient treatments where they come in and to make sure they're taking their medicine. But in some cases, you do need beds for them. And you'd have one psychiatrist, one family member, and I don't know, I think there was a third person, I forget who that was, to show up before a judge and determine whether someone should be institutionalized or be required to take his medicine. And really, all you need is a hearing. Can you imagine James Holmes or Jared Loughner at a mental illness hearing? And no, his lawyer can't do all the talking for him. He has to talk to the judge. It's really not that complicated. I am quite sure.
And who would bring this person to court?
Often the family members.
In Jared Loughner's case, would the mother have done that?
I'm not sure if the mother would, but gosh, everyone that he went and got a tattoo, and that tattoo artist said, there's another Columbine waiting to happen. There was that one woman in class with him who from the first day had a paper record of her emailing her friend saying, I'm terrified he's going to bring a gun to class someday. We have a crazy person. The professor went to the school, probably one of the professors the schools would have. They were terrified of him and wanted to get him out of the classroom. I mean, everyone who encountered this guy knew he was a danger, and that he had a mental illness problem. It needed to be dealt with. You had, this isn't a murder case, but sort of the famous case that crystallizes the issues and the sides on this, the famous Billy Boggs case in New York City, when Mayor Koch or Giuliani, I think it may have been Koch, just wanted to, her family, it was her sister, saying she's living on the street, she's smoking crack, running into traffic, burning paper, harassing pedestrians, defecating on the sidewalk. Her sisters were begging the city to put her at Bellevue.
What is the name of that book you recommend? The Insanity Offense?
Insanity Offense,
okay,
yes.
So here is today's column. Ann Coulter has, or actually dated yesterday, Ann Coulter's column, GOP Crafts Plan to Wreck the Country, Lose Voters. And it is her powerful case against, now, let me understand, against exactly? I know it's against just unlimited immigration of people, and you have poll after poll, and the key point you make is they bring, and I have said this for many years, they bring their values with them.
Yes.
And those values comport with the Democratic Party's values.
Yes, and I promise you, if immigrants on average voted for the Republicans the way they in fact do and for 100 years have voted for the Democrats, we'd have, you know, Chuck Schumer on the border and an absolute suspension of legal immigration. But, I mean, you have to understand that massive immigration helps the fortunes of the Democratic Party. If the country just stood still for a decade, conservatives and patriotic values would overwhelm Democrats. They'd be the ones in electoral trouble because conservative Jews and Christians, Mormons, they're the ones having 8 kids per family. The demographic war in America, left to its own devices, favors conservatives. It'll take us decades to catch up now because, there was a heavy immigration at the beginning of the last century. It was completely cut off in the 20s. It was just too much for the country to absorb all at once. America's a very special place, and it takes a while to be inculcated into American values. That was even back when we were attempting to inculcate people in American values. Now there's no attempts to the contrary. Popular culture, the schools, the colleges, are pretty anti-American.
I always point out to people that the people who slaughtered us on 9/11, in most cases, had attended an American college.
Yes,
it's not in and of itself a devastating point, but it's not an insignificant point.
Yes.
You don't learn to appreciate America at an American educational institution.
No, you don't. So it's a bigger problem now. Basically, immigration levels were low from the 20s up until 1965. when Teddy Kennedy, they are sneaky, these Democrats, enacted the 1965 Immigration Act that not only allows an enormous increase in immigration generally, but specifically, just incidentally, immigration from countries that have not traditionally sent Americans here. But mostly because of the family reunification policies, we're now up to, and have been for about a decade, more than 1 million immigrants a year. This hugely favors Democrats. This has nothing to do with race or ethnicity. Immigrants have always been the bulwark of the Democratic Party. They come from cultures that are liberal. They bring their cultures. They're often poorer than the average American, in need of government assistance. This is a scam that benefits only the Democrats. And Phyllis Schlafly just put out this report. It's still embargoed, as far as I know. But I caged a copy, and I just said I have to write about this. What she did was put together. I've written about some of these polls. She and Eagle Forum put together all of these polls. By the way, from left wing institutions. These weren't their own polls. It was from NBC News. It was from Pew Research, Harris Polling. Latino decisions and the polling of what immigrants believe, it's terrifying. And this will change over time, but we need that time. I mean, for example, one of the ones that surprised me the most was a Harris poll with something like, I forget the exact numbers here, 81% of Americans think children in school should be taught that America is a great country and be proud to be Americans. Only 50% of immigrants, and we are talking about naturalized citizen immigrants here, I think so.
Yeah, I read that. Like so it seems to me that the Republicans are damned in either direction, because the Wall Street Journal folks make the argument that with Republicans being identified as opposing immigration, they're doomed with the immigrant vote. But the more immigrants... Okay,
no,
go on.
No, that's an interesting fact. I'm going to write more about that next week. I was running up against my word limit. One thing, the reason immigrants are voting, and this is Asian, Hispanic, Muslim, whatever kind of immigrant, generally has very liberal beliefs. They believe overwhelmingly in big government, support Obamacare, are for gun control, and so on and so forth. They don't care about amnesty. They're not voting for the Democrats on amnesty. They're not voting for the Democrats on wide-open immigration policies. And in point of fact, this will be in next week's column, the Democrats know this perfectly well. Obama's ads, Spanish-language ads, directed at the Hispanic vote in 2012, did not say a word about amnesty. You know what they talked about? I'm going to give you free health care. They know what immigrants are voting on. They are voting on big government policies because they came from countries and cultures where the government did do everything. And I mean, this idea that the Wall Street Journal types have, that these beliefs of immigrants aren't sincerely felt, aren't deeply felt, and, we can just flip up if we just come out for amnesty. No, that it has... A, they don't want amnesty, and please don't dismiss their views as something that can be, changed on it.
So let me say to my listeners, because I love clarity more than anything else, that's really the issue. Do most immigrants support the Democrats because of conviction or because of policies pro-immigration or not? Her argument, and I'd like to see a refutation of it. I really would like to see it. Is that they come with convictions. These are not tabula rasas showing up, empty slates, blank slates. And her latest column is on immigration. And really, it's just, not just is a, it's a poor term here, but my point being, it's not so much Ann Coulter as it is Ann Coulter's delivering of data. And the data on the polling of immigrants, whether Asian or Asian at least as much as Hispanic, are powerful statements of the convictions that immigrants come with in America today. They've already been, that is all immigrants, Democrats to begin with as a general rule, then they evolve. But now it's the convictions as well as the desire to be helped by the government. I want to read to you, Ann, Jeb Bush in the Wall Street Journal, and, of course, former Republican governor of Florida. And it's the direct opposite of what you said. Republicans have much, this is how he ends his column. Immigration is not the only issue on which Hispanics or Asians vote, which, by the way, is exactly your point.
Yeah.
But it is a gateway issue. Right. Okay. Republicans have much in common with immigrants, beliefs in hard work, enterprise, family, education, patriotism, and faith. Go ahead.
That was, again, one of the stunning statistics or poll questions. It's in my column. I forget who took it. But when people were asked, Hispanics, non-Hispanic whites, Republicans, Democrats, do you have a favorable view of capitalism? Hispanics have a less favorable view of capitalism than people who self-describe as liberal Democrats.
That was liberal Pew Democrats. Research, by the way. It was the Pew Research.
Pew, yeah. Liberal Democrats have an unfavorable view of capitalism by 47%, Hispanics 55%. So these fairy tales being told by people who I think have an interest in cheap labor themselves. I mean, my main argument until this point has been cheap labor helps the employer, not the employee. We have a massive unemployment crisis right now, and this is good for the plutocrats and the employers, but not the employees. And I think we owe something to the people who are here now, and that includes recent immigrants who are here legally, and American citizens, and blacks and Hispanics themselves, who are in this country
the
now.
Column,
we need to do something for them.